Now this time I turn the services over to our greatly beloved pastor, Ron Israel Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Hey, I'm glad you came back. I appreciate it. Come on. There you go. You may be seated. You're going to be really glad you came back. This is really beautiful. Really beautiful stuff. We've got 50 days to Pentecost, and we're already cooking homemade pies out of fresh peaches. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I want you to turn over to Isaiah 44. Now, David Yehuda brought out the information on the name Hawkins, showing it is of the seed of Abraham, that family that Yahweh works with, and that's what the witnesses must be out of. He doesn't fool with anyone else. He just won't fool with you if you're not. And if you want salvation and you're not of that family, you got to have to come to that family and be part of it. That's all there is to it. Well, here in Isaiah 44, I need you to go to 44. I want to read this and rehearse it right here. Now, pay attention to what it says, because it's talking about me and my brother. It's talking about two witnesses. They're brothers from the same womb. People have said, I don't know how many years I've heard people say they're the witnesses. Well, they wasn't brothers. That knocked that out. These brothers, they have to be from the same womb. So that will narrow it down some for you. Plus all the other stuff that I brought you this morning, that it must be. So, or they're not the witnesses. They had to fulfill all of these, many scripture. He says, in verse 28, one of the witnesses, of course, is assigned to death. That word curse, it means the death. And that was Jacob. He was assigned to death, and the other was assigned to reproaches, to suffer reproaches, but at the same time reach all nations. And, of course, that's how Yahweh lifted us up to the nations, to get the nations' attention right now. And even though they look on us with disgust and hatred, you know, they're going to remember very soon that everything we said was true. And this is what's going to make the big difference. Now, 44 and verse 1, yet now hear, O Jacob, speaking of the one that died, but before he died, of course, before he was even born, hear, O Jacob, my servant, which means he was a servant of Yahweh. This is not speaking of the original fathers, Jacob, that called the people together and says, I want to show you what you're going to be like in the last days. He died. Yosef died, and all of his brothers died. All that generation died. I read that to you yesterday. This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, one womb, and all the commentators say these are two brothers. This is what it means. Who will help you? Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yisran. He gives him a nickname here. This narrows it down some more. Did Yahweh give you a nickname somewhere in the Holy Scripture? Whom I have appointed. That word also means chosen. It actually means chosen. And remember the word, because the word chosen is used several times with me in the prophecies concerning the last witness that takes the message to the whole world, with, of course, the whole body of the house of Yahweh, all working together. For I will, now this is the blessed part for you. This is really a blessed promise right here to everyone who becomes a part of this work. Look at it. Read it. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessings upon your offspring. That's you, brethren. That's you, sisters. Yeah. and they will spring up. This means they will grow in righteousness here, spring up. If you study it, the Hebrew words means they will grow in righteousness to receive the promises of Yahweh, to receive a job in His kingdom. Among the grass, that is people, the neighborhood, the environment, as willows by the water's courses, that is going ahead, proceeding ahead, head and shoulders, as Yahweh says, above the rest of the world. One will say, I belong to Yahweh. The same will call himself by the name of Jacob. This is under duress, and I've explained this many times. He was about to get thrown off of the train because he had an initial name, and finally he said, just call me Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand, doing it legally, saying, I belong to Yahweh, and surname himself with the name of Yisrael. Now, this is what Yahweh says, the King of Israel, Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and except for me, there is no source of power. You got to believe that. There is no source of power. He's the one that governs all of it. And who as I will foretell this, that is prophesy, set it in order for me, since for me, who will do this for me, since I appointed the ancient people, I appointed them. He appointed these ancient people, and now he's fixing to send another. You see that? And the things which are coming and will come, let them, Jacob and Israel, foretell them. We did. We have. We're still doing it. I'm still doing it. Look back up to verse five. And notice, he says, I belong to Yahweh and surname himself with the name of Yisrael. Now, if you go over, these are two brothers to foretell the future now. In the last days, it's got to be in the last generation, when the planes were invented, when the bombs were invented, all of that had to be done in this generation, in this time period. This last age must be in the last age, as Matthew 24, 33 and 34 says. Remember verse 14 of that chapter said that he will take this message to all nations. Now notice chapter 45 and verse 4, because Yahweh gives us another clue here. He says, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my chosen. He gives it the word chosen here now. Again, and there's several more scriptures that go with this right here in the Holy Scriptures that must be fulfilled. They must be fulfilled or you're not the witnesses. And I called you by your name. The commentators make comments like, surely this can't be so. Some mistakes are made here. It's got to be. Would Yahweh, this is what the Pope said, I think, would Yahweh actually call a man by his name or surname a man? Yes, he will. That's what he says. And he chooses who he wants to receive that name and who he calls his witnesses. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my chosen, I will call you by your name, and I called you, he says, I called you by your name, Jacob, and I surnamed you, Israel, though you did not recognize that it was me. No, I didn't, of course, at the time. I do now. Now, this must be so. It must be chosen. He must be named by Yahweh. Look at chapter 49, and he adds a little more to this. Chapter 49, and he says, from the bowels of my mother, he said, listen, O isles, a countries, this is what I've got to tell. And that's what I'm telling now, that Yahweh has appointed me to bring salvation in these last days through the house of Yahweh. Under the direction of the high priest Joshua, which that's got to be too. Listen, you peoples, from afar, from the other nations. They couldn't do that in the days of Yahshua and the apostles. You know, they didn't have means of reaching the other nations like we do. We got people sitting on television watching us right now in other nations. This is occurring throughout the world right now because of the increase of knowledge. The increase of knowledge. When Daniel, Yahweh said, close up the books, Daniel. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Close up the books. It's going to be sealed until the time of the end. Time of the end. Then knowledge will be increased where we can reach the nations. That was done for us. The world used the same increase in knowledge and built weapons of war. Yahweh has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. We got some other elders that's going to bring that out today. They've got a movie made out of it. You'll enjoy this movie. Bowels of my mother, he has made mention. He made mention. So it was him that brought this miracle about in the first place. The miracle where my brother, who was 1 year older than myself, his name was Vernon, and Daddy was bouncing him on his knee, I was told. My brother, Jacob, when he heard I was going to change my name, he was living in Israel. He wrote me a letter and said, before you do that, you might consider the fact that your brother, who was only 1 year old, named you. Meaning he thought I should keep the name I had since it was brought to me through a miracle of a 1 year old brother who Dad was now bouncing on his knee and said, what would you name your brother? And out of his mouth came the words, Buffalo Bill Hawkins. And everyone talked about that. This had to be so for this witness. Yahweh, from the bowels of my mother, which was my brother, named me, and it couldn't have been a mistake. They said it was loud and clear. Everyone heard it. We didn't have televisions and radios under that wagon, nor did we have them a year or two later, several years, in fact, later. That was in 1934. I think the first radio we got in the house was, I was probably 6 or 7 years old. But things weren't the same then. People were driving back and forth in wagons and teams at that time. But that had to be true right there. It had to be so for this man to be the witness of Yahweh. Must be from the seed. He also must be from the seed of Abraham. Go back to Isaiah 41. Of Abraham, my friend, Yahweh says. He must be from the seed of Abraham, my friend. And of course, the great David Yehuda brought that out this morning from the Sephardic Jews, which is where the word Hawkins comes from, meaning zealous priest, and goes back even to the days of Moshe, who led the children of Abraham out of Egypt. Could it be any better than that? And the proof is just now coming out, brethren. Praise Yahweh. Okay, here down in chapter 41, the great part that I see about this whole thing is that everybody who wants to be a part of this work repents and converts. You got a road into the heavenly places that you won't receive from any other religion on earth. The only thing you're going to receive from them is the wages of sin. Okay, now in Isaiah 41, verses 8 and 9. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. Well, here's another prophecy now that had to be fulfilled. The ends of the earth. I want to read you about the ends of the earth. This word, it doesn't mean like a measuring tape where you have start off with 1 inch and go to 28 and that's the end. The ends of the earth, meaning the last lands the last ends to be settled. That, my friend, is Oklahoma. Now listen to the date, and be sure and watch this movie this afternoon. This is great because they took you to the very sites where this takes place. Oklahoma Land Run. You can look this up for yourself and get this date of 1889. That was 45 years before I was born. The ends of the earth, brethren, they were still being settled. 1889. I was born in 1934. That's 45 years before I was born. And this was the nation now that was to become the chief of the nations. If it had not have become the chief of the nations, this prophecy wouldn't mean anything. But it did become the chief of the nations. Oklahoma Land Run, 1889, was the first land turned into the unassigned lands or ends of the earth and included all of or part of the 2005 modern day Canadian Cleveland. That's the county I was born in, Cleveland County. Kingfisher, Logan, Oklahoma, and Payne counties of the U.S. state of Oklahoma. The land run started at high noon on April the 22nd, 1889, with an estimated 50,000 people lined up for their piece of the available 2 million acres. The unassigned lands were considered some of the best unoccupied public land in the United States. The Indians, Galileans, Appropriations Bill of 1889 was passed and signed into law with an amendment by Illinois Representative William McKinley Springer that authorized President Benjamin Harrison to open the 2 million acres for settlement due to the Homestead Act of 1862, signed by President Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, legal settlers could claim lots up to 160 acres in size, provided a settler lived on the land and improved it. The settler could then receive the title to the land. By the time of the Oklahoma land rush of 1893, America was in the grip of the worst economic depression it had ever experienced. By the time of the Oklahoma land rush in 1893, America was in the grip of the worst economic depression it had ever experienced. Now, the first one was in 1889, the next one was in 1893. And in those two time periods, between those two time periods, America became a great depressed state. My father, who was living in Texas, because of this Great Depression that just happened to take place, living in Texas, he lost all of his land because of the Depression and because of drought. Because shortly after that, of course, the people started settling this land. And, of course, once they started settling it, Oklahoma City was built in one day, I think, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, I think, and Guthrie, Oklahoma, they were all built in just about one day's time by these settlers who had that Oklahoma land run. Well, we had to have houses to live in, and this land had to be built up and settled with houses. So Yahweh allowed people on the land, built the houses, and then he drove them out. And what followed that Great Depression was a very long drought that turned Oklahoma into a dust bowl, what is called the Dust Bowl. Yeah, it's hard to imagine this because we we tend to believe that all of this technology, you know, has been around forever. And it's hard for people to even get it in their minds that all of this was given because Yahweh increased knowledge. He allowed knowledge to increase so he could prove, and so he could prove, number one, what we would do with the increased knowledge, and number two, what the world would do. He's proven this to heaven and to earth at this time. The cars you're driving, you know, these great automobiles, I want to show you a picture of some of the first ones here. Here they are in the, look at the all the cars lined up on the freeways there. Now, that's what it is in just a few years. But the first cars that were invented, the electric cars was invented first, long before, and a steam car was invented before the gasoline car. But the electric car was just like it is today. The people don't want it because it'll only go 100 miles before you'd have to recharge the batteries. But the electric car, Thomas Davenport in 1802 to 1851 of the United States built a working model of an electric-powered vehicle and started selling it in 1836. The gasoline-operated cars took over because they could go further and be gassed up quicker than the electric cars could. Here's a great looking Ford Model T. that was in 1909. Subtract that from 1934 or 2011. You look out here today and you see all these cars going zipping back and forth because Yahweh increased the knowledge, but that's a bunch of the old ones there that you can see that just a few years old. In fact, not all that old. I had a Model T. I had a Model A too, the one that came later. But that's the end of the earth that Yahweh took his witnesses from. The ends of the earth. He called them, this is, look again to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, look at verse 9. You whom I have taken, see, taken from the ends of the earth. Now this prophecy here was written in 712 BCE. 712 BCE. The earth still wasn't settled completely, but it was prophesied to be a land where the two witnesses would come from, and that is from Zechariah. It was prophesied, if you want to turn over to Zechariah now, speaking of this same thing. And in chapter 5, he shows that the house of Yahweh would be built in a land, that's chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, in a land, a Babylonian land, not yet established. Yahweh said before this, in Isaiah 41:9, you, Israel and Jacob, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. And he did that from Oklahoma, the ends of the earth, the last lands history shows to be settled. Now, my name. The reason I wanted to change my name was Buffalo Bill Hawkins seemed strange to me to be, I wanted to do the work of Yahweh. And with that name, it just seemed strange. It didn't seem to fit the profession. I didn't know that I was being inspired to do so. I didn't know that Yahweh had already named me. You've heard of the hidden codes, the hidden Bible codes. We have a man in the house that's been studying them for years. He started studying them when they first came out. And I found out that he was looking at them, so I gave him some things to look at. At this time, I'd like for you to all stand, and I would like to introduce to you the great Kohan Gedaliah Hawkins. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. We all be seated. First, I want to just put center this up here, if I may. And well, I'm not gonna. Most of you know how the Bible code works, I think, but it's taking the scriptures that's mentioned in Isaiah and in all the other scriptures. You see, we have the Book of Yahweh in the original language, in Hebrew, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And when we put certain things together, we could look for certain things to see if it's there. And it just so worked out that it's there. It works out, I say, right? Yeah, it's there. Anyway, this, I don't want to take too much time with here either. This is, we're looking at 2 Kings 12, verse 22, through Yekeskeh 10, verse 18. This is what you're looking at here, are the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, okay, that you read in your Book of Yahweh. And I would have had some more time to go through more things, but we just have to do with this. Okay, you're looking at the Hebrew scriptures. And here you're looking at... Someone has a pen? I got one. You see, you put this in the computer and you put in the expressions or the words you want, and the computer goes through, does a search, and it does certain things, and it comes out with certain things. And this is what you're seeing here. In this matrix here, we call this a matrix, okay? Here we have, well, let's take the main code first, which is which goes like this. See those letters there? That's Hebrew for Bill Hawkins, okay? And that's the main code. See how I've got Bill Hawkins written to the side here. And that's the main code of this. Now, what we do is we have Bill Hawkins as the main code, so we look around it and see what else is there that relates to Bill Hawkins. And let's start over from the left here. Can you still see that? Okay. This expression here, it's in Hebrew. I don't speak Hebrew, okay? You can see what's that saying. That's saying, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Okay? Now, this matrix has to do with Bill Hawkins, okay? And you see the expressions that's surrounding his name. Okay, first we have straight from the Hebrew text. The seed of Abraham, my friend. And let's move over to the total right here. And there's another expression we have where it says, but you, Israel, are my servant. If you had the Hebrew text in your Book of Yahweh, you could see this. All right? And coming from up here, going down, we have this letter, this letter, and this letter, which... It says Oki. This is in the Hebrew text now, okay? It's there. It says Oki. Oki. And what makes these, what validates these things is that when we're looking for these expressions, see for instance Oki, it has a space in between, okay? It has a space in between the letter for Oki. It all has to have equidistant letter sequence. One spacing couldn't be two, another one, another five, okay? From the same word, it has to be the same exact spacing. So in this case, we have Oki, which is three spaces. The others, like this one, Bill Hawkins, that was one space. And over here, we have, but you, Israel, are my servant. That's one space in between. Yeah, I mean, if you have a Hebrew text, you could go and you could read this exactly the way it is. Well, it goes the other way. Okay? And we'll move down a little now. We have
this expression three times. It's here, and it's here. And it says hillbilly. Do you know anybody that's a hillbilly? All right. And there's another name in here which appears twice, but the name means, it's Riyah. In the Hebrew, Riyah, this expression right here, you still can see my pen, yes. And also it's over here, okay. It's going on a slant. But that Riyah means you to approve, to behold, to discern, to enjoy, have experience, and joyfully. And of course also in the Hebrew, it also means bride, okay? The house of Yahweh is the bride. Let's move over to the lower right here. And I don't need to spend too much time on this, but I'll show you some of the expressions that's here. I did this a few years ago when, probably more than a few years ago when there was a question whether will Israel die, Yisrael, or Pastor, will he die? And here we have the little expression here which says, he will not die. Okay? And also Daniel says, you are my witness. It has a word for prophet, and it has a word for priest. So here we have in a little portion of the book of Yahweh, where all these things come together. Now, that is not, accident, okay? Yahweh put it there, all this information, okay? He put it there. So, again, we have Bill Hawkins, we have Buffalo. Did we see Buffalo? No, we didn't, did we? Oh, Buffalo is in three places here. It is right here, it's right here, and right here. It says Buffalo. So we have Buffalo, Bill Hawkins, the Oki, okay? It's the seed of Abraham, my friend. But you, Yisrael, are my servant. And all those are in this little space here in this matrix. So I'd like to turn back over now to Yisrael.
You may be seated. Now if you will turn over to Hebrews with me. Hebrews. Now we read we start here with chapter 1 today before I quit. Hebrews, and we're showing that the Savior here, he made it by keeping the laws, being exactly like the Father. And in verse 4, he says, becoming so much better than the Malachim, or the King James Version translates it angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then in verse 8, it says, but to the Son, he says, the throne of your Father is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. This is the scepter that's spoken of that was actually a prophecy given by Jacob to his sons, saying that here's what I'm going to show you for the last days, take place in the last days. And he showed them this scepter and said, the scepter will not depart from Yada until the rightful owner comes, who was, of course, Yahshua, the rightful owner. Every history will tell you that once the Savior came and died, then in 70 CE, the temple was destroyed and Yada was no more. Couldn't find it ever again. Of course, we know what occurred, but we're the only ones that know. The house of Yahweh is the only ones that know. But the scepter was taken from them. That was the laws, the lawgiver. the laws of Yahweh, the ones who had to give the laws of Yahweh. They were appointed to give the laws of Yahweh by Moshe, remember? And Yahshua said, when the laws are read, when the laws of Yahweh are read, then do what they tell you to do. Only when the laws of Yahweh are read. But to the Son, he says, the throne of your Father is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is your scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh, your Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Now, if you look over to chapter 10, here is what he was appointed. Chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of righteous things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those same sacrifices which are offered continually year by year make those who come near perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. That was the priesthood that was offering these. I've got one scripture. I've got to find it here. Let's see. chapter 6 and verse 20 said, where the forerunner has entered for us, Yahshua, talking about now Yahshua, and get the name Yahshua. Now, if you have the catechisms of the Catholic Church or have the prophetic word where we brought this out, there's a person here from Canada today, because when I brought this out, they read the prophetic word, and they were staunch Catholics at one time, the whole family was. They had a set of the catechisms of the Catholic Church. They went immediately and looked it up, and they said, hey, this man is right. They said, if they hadn't have read my work first, it would have meant nothing to them. But since they read the work and they saw how the name Yahshua was taken out and replaced with the word Jesus and Christ, then they knew that, because I've explained how they were worshiping another god then. Therefore, the forerunner has entered for us, Yahshua, entered what? Well, this is the Holy of Holies. Now, this all has to do now with the four horns of the altar, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, verse 1 of chapter 7, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of Yahweh Most High, met Abraham returning from slaughter, and he blessed him. Abraham also gave him a tenth part of all. First, the name means king of righteousness. Then it means also king of peace. So he's high priest. Now look on that chapter 10 now. Chapter 10, appointed a priest by Yahweh after the order of Melchizedek. Now here in chapter 10, notice verse 16. He says he will be teaching the laws. His job, the high priest of our profession here, is teaching the laws. This is the covenant that I will renew with them after those days, says Yahweh. This is Yahweh speaking. This is the covenant I will renew with them through Yahshua the high priest. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Now look on down to verse 19. Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Yahshua. Now, yes, he made it possible because that covers your sins. It blots them out. If Acts 3:19, you will repent, be converted, confess your sins, then it will wipe your sins out. And then you have permission then to get your prayers through the priest and through the high priest into the Holy of Holies. Now, we'll see this all in detail. It's all in the Law and the Prophets, but we'll see it in detail later. But that's what he is saying right here. Notice that, therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Yahshua. 21 says, and having a high priest over the house of Yahweh. They changed that now to be a high priest over the house of God, and they changed it to Jesus Christ instead of Yahshua. But the word here is Yahshua. We have a high priest over the house of Yahweh. You got that? Everybody got that? Everybody read it? Okay. Now go back to Zechariah, the sixth chapter. High priest sitting in heaven doesn't work by himself. He's over the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh had to be established in the last days, when the planes and the bombs and everything are here, when knowledge is increased, right? All of these things had to be fulfilled. Now here is Yahshua, the high priest over the house of Yahweh. What house of Yahweh? There wasn't any until it was established. Yahweh said, somebody's going to branch out and establish my house. Well, here is where he shows it in Zechariah 6, found on page 719. Zechariah 6. Notice verse 11. This just blows people's minds when they read this, when they see how plain this is, that Yahweh has shown us in no uncertain terms where his work is. And there can be no other. He says that too. There can be no other. This is it. This is the way he'll get you into the Holy of Holies. Through his house only. No other way. You can't find it any other way. Take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them on the head of Yahshua. Now they put son of Zedekiah. If you look up the word, it means Yahweh who made righteousness and is righteous. That's in Strong's Concordance. Why did they put it Zedekiah? For deception, of course. So you would not find the house of Yahweh. Now, read it again. Take the silver and gold and make crowns, two of them, and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, the high priest. Well, of course, we just read it in Hebrews 10:21. Yahshua, the high priest, appointed heir over everything. Judge over everything. High priest. Now look at the next verse. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Look back over to Zechariah 4. He shows you in Zechariah 4 and verse 2, the lampstand. The lampstand that sets in Revelations 11, verse 4, as the two witnesses. The two olive trees and the two witnesses. If you want to turn there quickly, if you don't remember, everybody yet normally remembers Revelations 11 about the two witnesses, where they go and blow smoke out of their mouth and burn up all their enemies, and boy, they kill them just right and left. Well, the two lampstands, the golden lampstand here, the seven lampstand and the seven pipes. And then next, the verse 3, and there was two olive trees. This is the olive trees. The lampstand is the two olive trees, one on the west and one on the east, as is described by Daniel and other prophets. Look on down now to verse 12, where he calls them the branches. The one that's left alive is called the chosen branch, to be left alive to do this special work of taking, as you see in verse 10. Let's go back to verse 9. The hand of Zerubbabel. You know what the word Zerubbabel means? One who opposes Babylon. Do you know anyone that's opposing Babylon in these last days? Praise Yahweh. That's what it means. Zerubbabel. It's not talking about a dead man that lived before this. This Zerubbabel, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the house of Yahweh. The man that's opposing Babylon has laid the foundation of the house of Yahweh. He's talking about a lampstand here and two witnesses, two olive trees. that's shown in Revelations, the 11th chapter, is being the two witnesses. And it's also shown here in this very same chapters here as taking the house of Yahweh and establishing it, chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, in the chief of the nations that is not even established as a land, a Babylonian land not established until the ends of the earth came. And then that's where he took his two witnesses from, and that's where he established his house, after he made the United States the chief of the nations, or allowed it to become so. All of these things have to do with the work that we're doing here this day. Now notice in Yahweh of hosts has sent me. The hands of the one who opposes Babylon have laid the foundation of the house of Yahweh. His hands will also finish it. And you will know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? They will rejoice and will see the plummet in the hand of the one who opposes Babylon, and the complete knowledge and understanding of Yahweh will go throughout the whole earth. Remember, be preached to all nations. Then I answered and said unto him, what are these two olive trees? What are these two olive trees? And the lampstand, he said. And I spoke to him again and said to him, what are these two olive branches? Branches. And which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil through them. He answered and said unto me, verse 13, do you not know who these are? And he said, no, my ruler. Then he said, these are the two, not Zerubbabel, these are the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler of the whole earth. Look on down to verse 5. He says, then the Moloch who was speaking with me came forward, this is chapter 5, verse 5, and said to me, lift up your eyes and understand that which was sent, the one sent by commandment. Then in verse 6, and I asked, what is it? And he answered, this is the ephah, the standard of perfection, where he says right over here, he's going to take the standard of perfection to all nations. The standard of perfection sent by Yahweh, Yahweh's laws. Then he added, this is honor, knowledge, and understanding throughout the whole earth. Let me see if I can find this. Hold your place right here. And let me go back here to Isaiah again, because I don't have that scripture down. I think I can find it quickly. Here it is. Notice the word here, understanding, in verse 6. This is the honor, knowledge, and understanding throughout the whole earth that will be taken. Now look back to chapter 11 of Isaiah. Don't lose your place there. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. He said, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of, King James Version says, Jesse. And that's what you'll have to look up if you want to look this up in Strong's Concordance. Out of the stem of Jesse. That is what was the foundation that he planted, or the rootstock of his character, the rootstock, the seed, like the seed of Abraham. Jesse, or Yeshua, a son, he was a son or descendant of Obib, if you remember that, the son of Boaz and Ruth. I brought several sermons on Boaz and Ruth and the bloodline of Yeshua. They were in Yeshua's bloodline. The son of Boaz and Ruth, Obib was. Jesse was the son or descendant of Obib, the son of Boaz and Ruth. That's Ruth 4 and verse 17, 22. And Chronicles 2, 12, and Matthew 1, 5, and 6. Luke 3, 32. All those verses. He had 8 sons, if you remember, 1 Samuel 17. The youngest of which was David, King David. Got all that now? Okay, now, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yesha. Yesha, remember who Yesha is? He's in the bloodline of David. King David is in the bloodline of Yahshua. A rod out of the stem of Jesse. Put Jesse if you want to. Then a branch will grow out of that root or that stalk. That stalk. Now go, hold your place there and look back here to Zechariah 6 or 5. Zechariah 5. Then I asked, what is it? And he answered, it is the ephah, the standard of perfection, which is sent. It's sent by Yahweh's laws. Then he added, this is honor, knowledge, understanding throughout the whole earth. That's the job of the two witnesses in the last days. Hold your place there and look back to Isaiah 11, verse 2. The spirit, the branch, the spirit of this branch, the spirit of the branch will grow out of that root or out of that stalk, the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Yahshua being the chief cornerstone, Yahshua, who is now our high priest. The spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Hold your place there now. Hold your place and look to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, this is the two brothers. Look at verse 3. I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed. Your seed, that is speaking of Jacob and Israel, and my blessings upon your offspring. That's what it's speaking of here. If you are a part of this group, this is what you can receive from Yahweh. The spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. Isaiah 11 now, verse 2 again. The spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of reverence of Yahweh. Go back now to Zechariah here. This is exactly the same thing that he's speaking of here, that the two witnesses, and of course the chosen witness to take the message to all the world, that's what he's saying here is going to the world. This is the honor, knowledge, and understanding throughout the whole earth. Then if you go on down now to verse 9, he shows the same standard of perfection. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women, the last two eras of the house of Yahweh, sent by Yahweh, the one sent, John or Yochanan, 6:29, believe into the one sent. Yahshua says that's the work. With commandment, the Spirit came to overshadow them. The Spirit, Yahweh's Spirit, came to overshadow them, as he said so in Isaiah. They were covered with the covering of saints, and they extolled, magnified, and exalted the ephah, the standard of perfection, sent by Yahweh's laws, separating the ways of the world from the ways of Yahweh. That is exactly what we're doing throughout the world, brethren, at this time. You and I, we are doing this. Now, if you look back to chapter 6 there again, and you read this, you should understand exactly what's taking place. Yahshua is our high priest. Verse 11, take the silver and the gold and make crowns and set them upon the heads of Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the high priest. High priest, Hebrews 10, verse 21, says he's high priest over the house of Yahweh, teaching the laws, putting them in the hearts and minds of the people. He says, verse 12, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, behold, the man whose name, behold him. He's saying, Yahweh is saying to Yahshua, here is your worker, behold him. The man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. Do you know anyone that's building the house of Yahweh today? In the last age, when the planes and the bombs are here, you can see them, can't you? You can actually see this, and that's what Yahshua said. This is something you can see. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh, verse 13. He will bear glory. He will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both, between Yahshua and between the branch, between them both. And they will take this message to all the world. We're covering all the world at this time. All of it. Yahweh willing, it won't take too long before the wars start now. And the people are certainly getting in contact with us by the millions. It'll be billions next. But right now, by the millions, millions of people are wanting right now to come here. Millions are wanting to move here. At least, I don't know about millions, but several are wanting to move here. So we're on the right track, brethren. Salvation is yours. A job forever in the kingdom is yours, if you will just be strong. At the count of three, hallelujah, Yahweh. One, two, three.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.